What happened to him?
Victor killed him right in front of me.
Jared. There was no emotion on her face, in her eyes, or in her tone as she spoke those chilling words. But I sensed that underneath all that, Sam was screaming. I could feel the ache in her chest, like it was mine. I wanted to hold her. Not that that was anything new. But the air around her was so tense that it was almost like she was inside an impenetrable, invisible dome.
Tell me about it.
She studied my face.
You don't have to stay with me. I'm not going to break down or anything.
I'm not asking you to tell me as an excuse to stay and keep an eye on you. I genuinely want to know. Sighing, she opened her refrigerator door and gestured to the contents. I took a cola-flavored NST and leaned against the counter again, a little closer to her this time.
I'd been in a relationship with Bryce for about 6 months when I first met Victor. We bumped into him at a club. I hadn't known Bryce was a vampire, and he told me that Victor was his boss at work. I noticed that he didn't seem to like having to introduce me to him, and then they started arguing because Victor said I'd make a good consort for him. I had no idea what he was talking about, of course, and he wanted Bryce to give me up. Bryce wouldn't. And when Victor came on to me, I said no.
She paused as she drank the last of the contents of her bottle, before then grabbing herself another.
I was attacked that night outside the club, left for dead, and Victor turned me into a vampire. I think that maybe Victor was the one who attacked me. He had plans for me to be his consort. He was my sire, so he had rights to me that Bryce didn't have. But then he realized I was a feeder, and his plans for me grew immensely. Like any newborn feeder, I was out of control. I was absorbing energy without meaning to, and then shooting fire or water or energy balls here, there, and everywhere. Victor had to lock me up in a little room by myself. He didn't let me feed much, so that my energy levels wouldn't be too high, and my power would be diluted. But every day, 3 times a day, he took me out of the room and tried to get me to control my gift. He'd have a line of humans waiting, and for every time I failed to do whatever task he gave me, he'd kill one of them.
Bastard.
Yeah, bastard.
She took a long swig out of her bottle before continuing, emotion creeping into her voice.
Bryce had been appointed as one of my guards, and he promised me that as soon as I could control my gift, and there was no chance of me hurting myself, we'd make a run for it. We did. We went undetected for a whole week. But then Clark gave us up. Victor tortured Bryce before slitting his throat. I couldn't stop him. I wasn't as controlled as I am now, and Victor had me drugged and completely bound and gagged, while I was forced to watch.
If I'd known all of this before meeting Victor and Clark, I'd have killed them both myself. I couldn't imagine having to watch someone I cared about go through something like that, especially while I could do nothing to stop it. Something like that would stay with you forever.
I tried to run away from Victor by myself after that, she said, her voice steady again now. He'd told me that if I ever tried it, he'd kill one human every day until I was returned to him. I hadn't believed him. I was caught 2 weeks later by a Pagori who had a similar gift to Salem's. When I was conscious again, I was back with Victor, and at the other side of the room were 14 dead human bodies, most of them just kids. I didn't try it again after that, at least not until Sebastian showed up. I knew Victor would be too busy following me here to be bothered killing humans.
It was only now that I was getting a true idea of just why it was so important to her to be her own person. She had spent the past few years under the total control of another person. Someone she despised. Someone who had killed a person she'd loved. I admired her for being stood in front of me now. A lot of people would have tried to end their own existence, rather than live the kind of life she'd lived. That's what you meant when you said to the guys that they had no right to forget their pasts. She nodded.
In a nutshell, Bryce died because he loved me. Trying to forget that would be the biggest insult to him and his memory.
You really did love him. As unreasonable, strange, and seemingly idiotic as it was, I felt a twinge of jealousy at the idea.
I'm not going to lie and say I thought we were going to be together forever. Some people simply love each other for a little while. But I did love him, yeah. Look where it got him.
Hey, the blame doesn't lie with you. You have to know that.
Do you know what the saddest part of it all is? Bryce hadn't wanted to go to the club that night that we saw Victor. I'd been all packed, ready to move into a new flat the next morning. One that was at the other end of London. I'd said I wanted to go to that club one last time. Funny how one decision can lead to so many different things. I might never have been turned into a vampire. Bryce might still be alive.
Or you could have met Victor at a later date and had the same thing still happen. I advanced toward her, but didn't attempt to penetrate that dome she had created around herself. You can't go thinking stupid shit like that. They're the kind of things that Victor might have said to you. I'll bet he's looking up at you right now, listening to this and laughing about it. This would be exactly what he wants. She smiled a grim smile.
Victor already got what he wanted. He said the experience should teach me not to want to love someone ever again. It did. I've never wanted anything like that since. It hurts to love someone. I couldn't ever again watch someone I loved die.
I couldn't watch her in pain anymore. For the second time that night, I held her. Tight. She didn't resist like I'd thought she might. With her palms flat against my chest, she tucked her head under my chin. How could it feel this good, just to have your arms around someone? I'd say I was getting just as much comfort from it as she was. I'd never seen Sam look vulnerable before. Even now, though, there was still an air of strength about her. She was the last person I knew who would need protecting, but she made me want to shield her from everything. She brought out this protective side of me that I hadn't even known I had. I lightly kissed her hair and squeezed her even tighter. The moment was shattered by the heavy knock on her apartment door.
Sam? It's Max!
Oh, great. Had I ever wanted to smash his face in as much as I did right then? I loosened my hold on her, expecting her to dash to greet him. Sam sighed as she took a single step backwards.
I know he means well, but I just can't deal with him fussing right now.
If she had any clue as to how happy I was to hear her say that, she'd laugh her ass off. Then don't answer. He'll get the idea. I held her tight again. And again, there was no resistance from her. Max knocked once more, but as I'd suggested, she ignored him. At that, he went away. Happy days.
You're good at hugging,
she said after a minute or so of silence. I chuckled. Thanks. I can't say I've had much practice at it, You're comfortable to hug.
You seem to like my hair as well.
Subconsciously, I had begun stroking her hair. In my defense, it was so soft and beautiful. Like her. Want me to stop? She shook her head. So, I didn't stop. I combed through it with my fingers, enjoying the silky feel of it against my skin. I'd swear she was close to purring. But then she squirmed a little, and I thought she was about to free herself. I was wrong. In fact, she was sliding her hands up my chest and reaching for the collar of my shirt. One button open. Another button open. And then there was the unbelievable feeling of her lips on my skin. Not kissing, just lingering there. That was enough to make me hitch in a breath. She kissed the spot beneath the hollow of my throat, and I shuddered a little. Her lips then slowly began to work up the column of my throat, dabbing it with light kisses. She then gave it a little lick, and exhaled heavily over the wet spot, before scraping her teeth over it. My downstairs department rose to attention. I wasn't much of a person for ethics and morals when it came to sex, but a feeling struck me just then that had me questioning whether I wanted this now. It wasn't so much me that she wanted. It was comfort that she was looking for, and I didn't want us sleeping together to be about that. Voicing this view, however, was proving to be a struggle, as I was sort of caught up in the sensation of her lips and tongue and teeth on my skin. Then she ground against me. Not helpful. As such, all that came out was, "Sam, you have to stop." I couldn't say that I sounded all that convincing, especially since I was clutching her close to me.
"Why?"
she murmured against my neck.
"You want me?"
As if to emphasize her point, she ground against my raging erection again, and a low moan escaped me. Her lips worked their way around my entire neck, her tongue lightly flicking out each time, her teeth nibbling. There wasn't one part of it that she didn't tease. Christ, I had to make her stop. I was too close to thinking, comfort sex it is. "Sam, really, you need to stop." Again, there wasn't much force behind my words, and considering that I had one hand tangled in her hair, while the other was cupping her ass, she wasn't likely to take much notice of me.
"Why?"
her husky voice said into my ear, before she kissed the hollow beneath it, while grinding against me again, harder this time. "If I kiss you, I won't stop."
"And that's a bad thing?"
"I want you. You've no idea how much, but I don't want it to be about comforting you. Can you honestly say that you would have kissed me like this tonight, if it hadn't been for what happened with that guy out there?" Her mouth left my skin, and I felt her release a small sigh. As she stepped out of my arms, she gave me a half smile.
"Fair enough."
At that, she slowly headed to her bedroom.
"Good night,"
she said quietly over her shoulder. It took every ounce of my self-will not to follow her into that room and into that bed. God, why am I being such a fucking girl? If she wanted to use me, she could use me. What was so bad about that? Wasn't that what I'd wanted all along? The end result would be the same whether it was tonight or another night. Sex. And yet, it was oddly important to me that she wanted to sleep with me for no other reason than that she wanted me. It wouldn't have felt balanced if it was any different. Since when did I care about things being balanced? This whole thing was too weird. I was stood staring at the closed door of her bedroom with my hands slapped against the sides of my head, releasing sigh after sigh after sigh after sigh. Occasionally I'd step toward the door, only to then take a step back. I couldn't help thinking about how she was in there, in bed, naked, finally willing to sleep with me. Seriously, what the hell was I doing out here? But then, like a smack to the face, the importance of her wanting me just for me, not comfort, hit home. True, this wasn't like me. True, being used for sex had never been a problem for me before. But, for whatever reason, it mattered to me now with this woman. So, with a strength I honestly hadn't known that I had, I ignored the protesting coming from the bulge in my pants and teleported to my own room.
Chapter 10. Sam. All right, so I wasn't exactly enthusiastic about leaving my apartment. I'd cursed the setting sun as I rose and dressed. I had no doubt that news had spread of my dueling with Clark, and that people would be putting two and two together to theorize what it was all about. They'd definitely be coming up with five. I wasn't sure what would bother me more, leaving people to believe rumors that weren't true, or explaining the entire truth, which was something personal to me. I'd already explained it to Jared, but I knew he wouldn't go blabbing about it. God, Jared. I wasn't eager to see him, either. I'd spent God knows how long insisting I didn't want him that badly, and then I'd gone and tried to seduce him. I mean, seriously, I was turning into my own worst enemy. I blamed him. It was the hug that did me in. I'd relaxed against him, and then suddenly I'd felt, well, engulfed by warmth, sheltered. His arms had become some kind of refuge. No one had ever held me like that before, so securely, so comfortingly, so possessively. Then, after a few minutes, even in spite of everything else I'd been feeling, there had been a thirst for something more, a violent throb of desire low in my stomach. Thinking about everything as a whole, as I made my way to the command center, I had to wonder if he had rejected me to make things even between us, to get his own back. It just didn't make sense that he would care what had made me want to have sex with him. He was a bloke, a woman-obsessed bloke, and he'd spent most of any time we were together doing that staring thing and suggesting we have sex. And men said that women were confusing. Regardless of his rejection, I wasn't embarrassed by my behavior. Okay, maybe I was a little. No doubt I'd have been mortified if I hadn't known he wanted me, and the whole seduction thing had been a gamble. But it was obvious that neither of us had walked away satisfied. No way would I blush or act all weird when I saw him. He'd love that. I refused to allow Jared to reduce me to a nervous, rambling blusher. If it wasn't for my raging hormones, he probably wouldn't have had much of an effect on me anyway. Oh, who was I kidding? I wasn't even at my office, and I was reaching out with my senses to ascertain whether or not he was inside it. I was both glad and disappointed to find that he wasn't. Fletcher spotted me approaching and rose from his seat. If I was in a better mood, I would have laughed at his peach cashmere sweater, which hugged his body in a very feminine style. In fact, the sweater wasn't too unlike my own. "All right, love, how you feeling?" "Fine," I said, nodding. "You?" "I always suspected you kept your distance from Jared because you'd been in a proper relationship, and it went pear-shaped." He offered me a sympathetic smile. "Although I must say I hadn't thought the bloke had died." I ignored the nonsense about any of that affecting my lack of a relationship with Jared. It was Bryce who was the important part of the conversation. "He was great. You'd have liked him."
"Well, if you ever want to have a good gab about it, you just let me know. All right?"
"Will do."
"Now, I've been instructed to send you straight to Antonio. He wants to see you in the aviary." About what?
Fletcher shrugged.
I'm just the messenger, love. Don't shoot.
Antonio had obviously got wind of what happened outside the bar. Had Clark been one of his top security guards? If yes, I was in for one hell of a rollicking. Wonderful. Just what I needed 2 minutes after waking up. His own point of view might be that it was irrelevant what Clark had done in the past, that if I'd wanted to duel with him, one of his employees, I should have gone to Antonio first for permission. Hopefully it would work in my favor that Clark was the first to attack. If I hadn't defended myself against that fireball inside the club, I might not be here now. It wasn't surprising that people stared as I passed them in the hallway of the mansion. There was no wariness or disgust on their faces. They looked fascinated and approving. I suppose that since not an awful lot happened round here, it was probably the most excitement they'd had in a while. Like last time, Antonio was staring through the glass of the aviary, admiring the little animals with a glowing smile. Sebastian and Luther were stood slightly behind him, mimicking his own position. They all gave me a nod as I entered, as did Antonio's two usual bodyguards. The dogs dashed over to nuzzle and sniff me to death. When I reached Antonio's side, who was now admiring the animals again, I spoke. "Will I be being sent to bed without dinner, or are you just going to ground me for a while?" His mouth twitched.
"Do you know why I always enjoy our conversations, Sam?"
"Because I'm such a charmer."
"Because I never know what it is you will say next. You never fail to surprise me."
Luther and Sebastian murmured words of agreement.
"I have not called you here to discuss your actions of last night. I knew when I employed you that you were a live wire, and I knew that your reflex to a challenge is to accept it. I am told that the vampire in question attacked first, so I will look upon the incident as a matter of self-defense. This time..."
The message was loud and clear. "I'm letting you off with a warning, but don't go challenging my vampires again unless truly necessary."
"Got it."
"Good."
As much as I also enjoy our riveting conversations, I have to ask, what's with the summons if it's not to talk about Clark's unfortunate demise?
His mouth twitched again.
"Has your new gift manifested yet?"
"No, not yet."
"The suspense is painful," said Luther.
I turned to look at him. "Are you really that intrigued?"
"No feeder has ever been given additional power before. No one would have dreamt of it. You are, therefore, somewhat of a..."
"Science experiment," I supplied.
"We are keen to observe you, yes. You must appreciate that when one has so much time on their hands, and not much to entertain them, the smallest thing can become intriguing."
The creaking of the door behind me stole everyone's attention. I swerved to see Jared swanning inside and strolling gracefully toward us. As always, it took a lot of control to not gape at him, especially when he had that leather jacket on. Feeling a little intimidated, I suddenly became incredibly aware of my own appearance. I didn't exactly look very appealing in my simple white tank top and my hip-hugging sapphire blue denim jeans, with my hair in a high ponytail.
Sigh. Oh well. It was a good 10 seconds before I stopped ogling, which meant he'd probably noticed. I would not blush, I would not blush, I would not blush. I didn't. More so because I was distracted by his confused expression, which mirrored my own. He repeatedly studied my face, as if for some clue as to what this meeting was all about. I gave a shrug.
"Sorry I'm late,"
he told Antonio after exchanging brief greetings with everyone. His dubiousness was apparent in his tone.
"I had to find someone to cover the squad." "It's quite all right," replied Antonio. "Feeling any better today?" asked Jared, as he positioned himself on Antonio's opposite side, facing me.
I went for nonchalant.
"Fine, thanks,"
he responded with a tiny nod.
"I wanted to speak with you about the Connolly gathering," Antonio said to Jared. "What about it?"
Jared stuffed his hands in the pockets of his jacket, which drew my attention back to it and thus to him.
It wasn't fair that he looked so good in it, that he could so easily affect me. He'd probably look even better without it and any other clothes on. Not that I wasn't interested in finding out or anything, now that I was thinking straight again. Honest. Maybe I could go at the jacket with a razor blade or something. That would help.
It is tomorrow night, is it not?
Yeah, confirmed Jared, still dubious.
And you will be attending, I assume. I do every year.
Antonio nodded.
I want you to take Sam along with you.
What? Asked Jared, almost overriding my... Say again? I didn't even know what this gathering was supposed to be, or who the hell Connolly was.
All those invited are welcome to take a guest, said Antonio. From what I remember, you always do so. Why do you want me to take Sam?
Agitation streamed through his veins at the idea. I felt it as if it was my own. Oh, cheers, Jared. I couldn't help snorting.
It is a very worrying time. Soon the Hollow's walls will be attacked. You can appreciate why I would wish to take precautions with regards to your safety. And as you do not usually take a personal bodyguard with you, people would find it rather odd if you were to do so this year. If there are any would-be traitors amongst the guests, this might tip them off to our alertness of the upcoming attack. Up to now, although they may suspect that someone within my council has had a vision, they will not be sure. So I propose that you take Sam along as your guest. Let her pose as your consort.
I snorted again, to which Antonio smiled.
Or your partner, whichever. Then, if you do encounter any trouble, you have her as backup. Again, you're insisting I need backup and help and protection, grumbled Jared. Antonio, I'm a master vampire. I have a reputation that ensures most vampires wouldn't dream of bothering me, and any that have tried taking me on have only ended up a pile of ashes.
Except me, of course. I couldn't resist. Jared ignored me.
It's one thing to be concerned about me being targeted. It's another thing altogether to imply that I can't handle it myself. This is not about what you can or cannot handle, insisted Antonio. This is about taking precautions. You are my heir. I will do as I must to ensure your safety. Ensure my safety? So you're saying a young female Svente vampire is all that's needed to ensure my safety? Hey, why not get rid of me and make her the heir, then?
Oh, we're back to that crap, I see, I spat. Honestly, Jared, you're like a little kid who doesn't want to hold Mummy's hand.
It's nothing personal to you, said Jared.
Your last words sort of contradict that. What's wrong? You don't want to be seen out with a Svente? Antonio interrupted our dispute.
What if this was Evan, Jared? You know he can protect himself from any threat, but would you want him to go alone while such a threat is live? That's different, argued Jared.
I snorted. Oh, you know what? I'm gone. Antonio, if you want me to go tomorrow night, I will. But I'm not staying here to listen to him sulk any more than I have to.
Understandable, muttered Sebastian.
I was in such a desperate need to put distance between me and Jared that human velocity just wasn't good enough. Vampire speed had me at the office within seconds. I slumped down onto my seat. God, what was so wrong with me in Jared's eyes that made him so horrified by any idea that involved us working closely together? Oh, I was good enough to shag, though, wasn't I? So should I take that to mean that he'd shag absolutely anything, even if he loathed it? Worse still, I couldn't seem to shrug my shoulders about it all. I told myself I didn't like him that much. I told myself what little attraction I had to him was purely physical. But if that was the case, why was I so bothered by what he thought of me as a person? Why did I suddenly care about what he thought of my appearance? Why was I jealous of his relationship, if you could call it that, with his consort? Why, when I needed comfort, was he the only one I wanted around me? Why, when Max was so cute and sweet and made an effort to spend time with me, did I find myself thinking about Jared instead? Maybe Jared was right. Maybe it wasn't fair to Max that I responded to his flirtatiousness if it was Jared I wanted more. Well, Time to remedy that, and not by pushing Max away or attempting any further seductions with Jared. No, time to rid myself of this craving I had for Jared. Yes, it had somehow, without my even realizing it until now, developed into a craving. How was I going to rid myself of that? Easy, because I wasn't a shallow person, and I didn't believe that looks were more important than personality. So now all I had to do was remind myself of all his bad traits. Of course, there was the obvious one. He was outrageously sexist, even to the extent that he hadn't been prepared to give me the job I deserved, merely because I was female. Hell, he wouldn't even work with me, so he had to split the training hours for the squad and train them separately. Number two, he was prejudiced against Svente's, seeing them as inferior to him and horrified at the thought of being seen outside the walls with one. Arsewipe. Number three, he placed so little significance in women that they were simply objects to him. Objects that he could claim and possess and tuck away in an apartment. Number four, he was such a spoilt brat that he sulked whenever things didn't go his way, even going as far as to barely speak to me for days at a time. Number five, he was so unbelievably vain, he couldn't grasp the concept that a woman might not want to be his consort. To sum up, he's a dickhead. And now my head felt so much clearer. Objective, forget Jared, concentrate on Max.
Jared. Sam wasn't in the office when I teleported there. She was always in her office during lunch hour, flicking through files and charting the progress of the recruits. It wasn't exactly cause for alarm that she wasn't there now, but I didn't like it. I had apparently gotten so used to knowing where she would be that this simple detail threw me off. It shouldn't matter that I didn't know where she was, but I really didn't like that at all. It would make sense that she wouldn't be enthusiastic about talking to me right now. I knew I'd hurt her feelings by protesting about taking her to the gathering tomorrow evening. It hadn't really registered until now that it was possible to hurt her. It should have done, as I'd glimpsed what she hid behind that frosty exterior. The pain, the anger, and the shame at what her dick of a sire had done to her. And now I was the dick, too. It wasn't that I was ashamed to be seen with her, like she thought. Okay, I admit, I didn't like the idea of everyone staring and whispering and judging, and if it was any other Svente, I'd have point-blank refused to take her. But I didn't look at Sam and see a Svente. I saw a strong, determined, willful, gorgeous, good-hearted person. A good-hearted person who I'd just hurt. I had to see her. Not that I was going to say sorry or grovel. Pride and all that. But the idea that she was somewhere thinking horrible shit about me, or upset because of what I'd said, I just didn't like it. It was probably just that I knew it would make getting her to admit that she wanted me even harder. Yeah, that was all it was. It wasn't like it could be anything else. Feelings weren't something I experienced when it came to women. Perhaps that was because the only ones I'd ever had in my life had let me down in ways I didn't even want to think about. Maybe that was why I no longer seemed to function that way with women. In all honesty, I didn't even see the point in relationships anyway. After watching the way my parents were, arguing, brawling, cheating, I didn't see the attraction in having a relationship, and I definitely wasn't built for it. Evan was the opposite of me. Witnessing the messed up marriage that our parents had only made him want to seek out the right woman and not just settle for someone, the way our parents had. Personally, I didn't think there was a right woman for each and every guy. You either cared about them or you didn't, and it either lasted or it didn't. Like Sam said, sometimes you love someone for a little while, and then it was over. Odd how much it bothered me that she once loved someone. I wouldn't have thought it was possible to be jealous of a dead person. I couldn't even work out why I was experiencing jealousy over it at all. Nothing I felt or did when it came to Sam made much sense. I still couldn't believe I'd walked away from her offer of sex last night. Evan would laugh his tits off if he knew. That's why I wasn't planning on telling him. Shaking my head at myself, and my inability to explain my weird responses to this woman, I picked up the phone and called Fletcher using the internal line. He answered immediately.
Yes, Commander.
Fletcher, do you have any idea where Sam is?
Sam?
He sounded uncomfortable.
Well, Max came to take her out for something to eat for lunch.
My jaw suddenly hurt, and I realized I was grinding my teeth together. Okay. Thanks, Fletcher. Max had taken her out for lunch? Motherfucker. I was really going to end up seriously hurting that guy. I'd never before felt threatened by another guy when it came to women. Mostly because it didn't really matter to me if the woman wasn't interested. There were plenty more strutting around. It wasn't really much different from me browsing through a shopping mall with a vague idea of what I might like, and then choosing an outfit to try on for size. This time, it was different. Sam was different. I didn't want a woman like her. I wanted that woman. But if all I was doing was trying her on for size and had no sense of ownership, it meant other people could try her on for size, too. And that nettled me more than I'd have expected it to. In which case, Max really needed to get the hell out of the picture. Could she be right? Was my ego really that swollen that I couldn't stand the idea of someone else beating me to it? It had to be that. And now all I could do was wonder what they were doing, if she was enjoying herself, whether his little lunch date would amount to anything. I didn't believe that Sam was the type to be dazzled by dates or anything soppy, but she would appreciate the fact that he was making an effort. I really didn't appreciate his efforts at all. In fact, I'd like to shove them up his ass along with any objects I could find. But as much as curiosity was chewing on me, there was no way I was going to walk around looking for the two of them. I wouldn't let things get that bad that I needed sectioning. Common sense told me that seeing as she'd be at the arena within the hour, I might as well just sit, eat, drink, and then head over there shortly. Needless to say, the time dragged. It was worse because I had nothing to do to occupy my thoughts. It only occurred to me as I was making my way to the arena that I didn't actually have anything to say to Sam that would seem important enough to warrant me walking over there. I'd have to say I was there to observe the training again. I'd actually enjoyed watching last time. Instead of wounding my ego that I'd been wrong about her capabilities, it made me proud of her. When I arrived at the arena, only a few of the recruits were there, laughing and joking like a bunch of high school kids in a locker room. I waited in the spectators' box. A few minutes went by before she walked in. I'd have been mesmerized by how snug her simple clothes were against her body, hinting at her toned figure, if it wasn't for the fact that Max was walking beside her, and they were laughing loudly. You know the kind of laugh that tells you that the joke was private between the laughers, and you'd never get it? Sam was two recruits short, and the training session wasn't due to start for a further 10 minutes. But to her credit, she ushered Max away, conveying the message that now she was his superior, and he'd get the same treatment as everyone else, whether he'd taken her to lunch or not. I was about to telepathically alert her to my presence, when she did something that again had me mesmerized. She removed the bauble from her hair, letting her dark hair fall loose from the ponytail, and then smoothed it back, before gathering it together to style it into a higher, tighter ponytail. Now I was stuck thinking about how soft those strands were, and how good it felt to scrunch them in my hand last night. Just as it had felt good having her lips, tongue, and teeth on my neck. If she'd sunk those teeth into my skin, I'd have been inside her before she could even swallow one gulp of my blood.
Didn't expect to see you here.
Her tone was flat and emotionless. I guessed that she had sensed me. It's called keeping a close eye on the progress of our squad. I almost said my squad, but I figured that wouldn't help me get back into her good books.
As long as you don't interfere, that's fine.
That was exactly what I would have said to her had our positions been reversed. So although I'd had no intention of interfering, I resisted being defensive. Just as I was about to make a throwaway comment about her lunch date with Max, the final two recruits entered, and she quickly rounded them all up like sheep. Throughout the entire session, I watched her. I couldn't take my eyes off her. She conducted herself so confidently and had such control over her gift that I was in total awe of her. She basically commanded the entire arena and everything in it just with her presence. Not once did she become unsure of herself. Not once did she lose control of the situation. Her husky voice echoed and teased my ears, hypnotizing me almost. She had the recruits repeat the same exercises of last session, making them practice their gifts on one another. But this time she acted as a distraction. She threw energy balls or thermal beams, or tapped into the natural elements.
During any kind of battle, the odds of you getting a fair spar with another vampire are slimmer than Commander Michael's favorite consort, she said to them. I had to laugh a little. There'll be other vampires coming at you from all angles. It's important that you're able to defend yourselves and attack despite these distractions. I've been serving as that distraction, but I haven't attempted to hurt any of you. In a battle, it will be different. The vampires coming at you will have every intention of hurting you. So, we try this again. This time, I will aim at you. Don't start whining like girls. I won't be too harsh. No, this isn't fair, but battles aren't fair. The only way you'll learn to dodge is if you experience what will happen if you don't. So let's go.
Damn, she was amazing to watch. The way they all hung off her every word. It was a situation that only an extremely good leader could create and sustain. I had to agree with Antonio, albeit begrudgingly, that she would make a good co-leader in a battle, and that the squad would benefit from having her there. I'd benefit from having her there. Was I in any way surprised that the second the session was over, Max dashed toward her like a puppy to its master? No. By the looks of it, neither was Sam. When uncertainty flashed on her face, I strained my hearing to listen to their conversation.
You said you'd never tried eating there and that we could go together sometime, Max was saying to her. So I just thought, hey, no time like the present.
You're not content with whisking me off to eat lunch. You now want to commandeer my entire night as well.
She was laughing, but there was awkwardness in it.
Oh, come on. It's got to be better than sitting in your apartment munching on crap while Fletcher turns up to eat half of it.
She smiled in surprise.
How do you know he does that?
Sam, please. Oh, he's begging her now? Pitiful.
Put me out of my misery. Come out with me later. Please?
She rolled her gorgeous eyes.
All right, fine. We'll go out. You'll have to give me an hour to change clothes and stuff.
Motherfucker.
I was down there in a second before he could propose anything else, like, oh, I don't know, him going to her apartment for coffee after the meal. This was so like the feeling of someone trying to take something that was mine. She'd whip me to death if she knew that. She looked up at me, waiting for some kind of comment. I tried really hard to gather the words together to form a compliment about her coaching, but nothing would come out. I just wasn't practiced at compliments. Her growing smile indicated that she noticed my inner struggle. I could actually feel her amusement. "So I'll come to your apartment in an hour, then," Max said to her. His eyes then darted to me, and he shot me a self-satisfied smirk. Yeah, he knew I wanted her, and he was sending me a message that it was too late. He really believed that. I almost felt sorry for the guy. Almost.
"I'll just meet you in the lobby," Sam told him.
Then it was my turn to shoot smirks at him. He couldn't be doing that well with her if she wasn't taking up the opportunity to have him in her apartment. If I was childish, I might have mouthed, "I've been in there." Maybe I could be childish just this once. She turned to me, pulling me out of my thoughts.
"I'm assuming you noticed that I didn't leave the files on your desk like I usually do."
I hadn't noticed.
"I actually didn't get a chance to finish updating them."
That was my fault. I took her to lunch. Could he have made it more obvious that he was trying to mark his territory?
"But I'll sort it at dusk."
She had ignored Max, which he didn't seem to like. "It's okay."
"Say again?"
She seemed astonished. Did she wonder if I'd come here just to make snide remarks about trivial things? Well, I had done trivial stuff in the past. "It's okay," I repeated.
"You're being reasonable."
Suspicion entered her eyes.
"You've either done something you shouldn't have, or you're after something."
I gave her a devilish grin. "I'm only after the same thing I always want."
"What would that be? My blood or my body? Put those two together."
She shook her head at me, stifling a giggle. Max snickered. "I'd say he's done something and feeling guilty about it."
"Jared doesn't do guilt," she told him.
"Except with you," I almost said. Christ, I'm losing it. The playful banter continued as we all strolled to the apartment building. Max got increasingly agitated about it and tried further marking his territory by touching her or complimenting her. She only laughed each time. I was pretty sure that she knew what he was trying to do, and she was just humoring him. But even that didn't make me want to pound him any less. Max saw that, and so he did it all the more. Therefore, I was already beyond incensed when he turned up at my apartment door 45 minutes later. "What?" was all I said. He pushed past me, took a quick glimpse at the interior of my apartment, and then exhaled heavily. "I want you to leave her alone." The nervous tremor in his voice disappeared as he continued to speak. "I'm not here as a squad member talking to his superior. I'm here talking to you as one guy to another. Leave her alone." As a gesture of boredom, I stuffed my free hand in my pants pocket, while using the other to swirl the contents of my NST bottle. "I'm afraid I can't do that." "All she'd be is another notch on your bedpost. You can get sex anywhere. You've got 3 consorts to give you it whenever you want. Just leave this one woman alone." "What would you know about what I want?" "I've heard all about how you treat women. That you're only out to get laid. Fine, that's your business. But Sam's worth more than that." Inwardly, I groaned,
before shooting a rhetorical question at him. Are you and her together? No. Then I don't see how what Sam and I do, or don't do, has anything at all to do with you. I gestured toward the door with my head, but he remained still. Like an idiot. Okay, let's look at it this way. We both want her, but you don't care about her. I do. So don't you think it's only fair that you just leave her be? Let's look at it another way. Sam doesn't want someone to care about her. She wants to keep it simple. He frowned. How would you know? She told me. After everything she's been through, I don't blame her. Yes, that was me making a point to him that there were things about her and her past that he didn't know and that she had trusted me with. I'd seriously think before you go declaring your undying love for her. She'll run a mile. Yeah, right. Like I'd listen to your advice. You'd say anything that'd mess up my chances with her. What's the matter? Feeling threatened? You obviously are, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. Oh, fuck you, Michaels! Be smart and leave her alone! You'll be sorry if you don't! His tone was sharp and clipped. In vampire speed, I was nose to nose with him. I really hope you can follow up on that threat, 'cause you're going to need to. What bothered me more than the threat was the way he talked about Sam, like he had rights to her. Let me ask you, she ever let you kiss her? His silence answered that. You mean you're making all this effort and not even getting any action? I shook my head and whistled. You're missing out. She's one really good kisser. His eyes widened, and lots of veins and tendons in his face and neck were bulging. It could have been mistaken for envy, but it was more to do with anger. He had realized that he was only embarrassing himself by coming here with this all high and mighty attitude, only to find out that he wasn't the expert on Sam that he thought he was. Once his face was no longer contorted, he flashed me an ugly smirk. I better go. I don't want to be late for my dinner with Sam. Don't choke on your food now, will you? I called over my shoulder as he passed and left the apartment. What a son of a bitch. Barging into my apartment. Confronting me. Threatening me. Acting like he had any rights where Sam was concerned. I should have just decked him. Full points for me for not losing it. But did that mean I was going to just let this go? That I could let this go? Oh no. Not a chance. His evening was going to be cut short.
Sam. I stared hard at the menu, not really reading it, trying my hardest to ignore the anger that was steaming off Max and making him unbelievably uncomfortable to be around. I'd already asked 4 times if he was okay, each time getting a, yeah, great. Only he wasn't great, far from it, and now I was brassed off. He was the one who'd wanted to come here. How was it that I'd become the one keeping a conversation going to fill the silence? I'd given up on that now, meeting the silence with silence, fully intending to walk right back out if he didn't perk up within the next 10 minutes. At last he spoke.
I never got a chance to ask you what all the crap was about with that guy last night.
He sounded like a deflated version of himself, like someone had sucked the enthusiasm out of him.
Something about him being responsible for the death of his best friend.
I nodded. Who also happened to be my boyfriend at the time. I consulted the menu again, hoping for a subject change. What are you ordering?
I tried to see if you were okay. Last night, I mean. I went over to see you, but Jared was holding you. He wouldn't budge.
Oh. Well, of course I knew that, but Max wouldn't understand that I just couldn't deal with talking to everyone about it.
He was the type of person who could talk about anything, anything at all, no matter how personal, and not feel awkward or embarrassed. He never seemed to ever experience the feeling of needing to keep anything private.
And then I came by your room. You didn't answer.
I hoped I was imagining the element of suspicion in his voice. I must have been asleep when you knocked.
How long did Jared stay with you? Or did he just leave straight after teleporting you there?
What's with the round of 20 questions?
I'm just asking.
Where's that waiter? I didn't need the waiter. I needed the exit.
Have you and Jared ever...
He started playing with his own fingers, keeping his glare fixed on the table.
I mean, I wouldn't blame you for falling for his bullshit.
I haven't fallen for anything, or haven't you noticed that he's not here? It came out much snappier than I'd intended. Max didn't seem fazed by my change in tone. His mind was very much elsewhere. Has Jared said something to you?
Has Jared said something to me?
He laughed, a miserable laugh with a cutting edge to it.
Jared says a lot of things. Are you referring to how he made it obvious you talked to him about personal stuff, or that he told me you and him had kissed?
The first seemed to bother him most. Like I'd said, Max didn't feel the need to keep things private, so for him to hear that not only did I keep things private from him... Realistically, though, that wasn't exactly uncommon with people you barely knew, was it? But the fact that I had no problem sharing those things with someone else was just incomprehensible to him.
I can understand why you might like him, he said before I could respond to his question. But you have to see that all he wants is to use you.
Max...
He'd drop you straight after it easier than a bad habit.
Max!
Did you know he never screws the same woman twice unless it's one of his consorts?
Max, will you just stop with the ranting? I might have been annoyed with Jared for what he'd said to Max, but he'd only spoken the truth. It wasn't like Max and I were together or anything. And I had to wonder if Max had ranted at Jared, and that was why Jared had then disclosed the info. I would have wanted to shut him up as well.
So what he said was true?
Jared and I have kissed, yes.
You didn't tell me.
You didn't ask until now. I never had any intention of hiding it, but I've got no reason to go round jabbering on about it either, have I? Now, can we stop talking about inconsequential crap and just order the food, please? Before the hand even appeared on my elbow seconds later, I knew he was there. My senses had screamed it at me. Such a simple thing to have someone gently hold my elbow, and yet every nerve ending in my body was now extremely alert.
"What the hell are you doing here?"
spat Max. Jared shrugged.
"I'm going to have to take her, sorry."
He looked down at me, his alluring hazel eyes glinting slightly with humor.
"Antonio wants me to show you the file containing the information on all the High Master vampires who will be at the gathering."
What gathering? Demanded Max. Jared smiled at him.
Oh, we're going together to a gathering of the High Master vampires tomorrow night. And looking at this file just couldn't wait until tomorrow night?
Max sneered at him.
You aren't suggesting I'd interrupt your meal unless I had a really important reason, are you? The things I said really got to you, did they?
Yes, I'd been right. Max must have ranted at Jared not so long ago, and now he was getting a little payback. I wouldn't have let the game continue except that it was a fantastic excuse to get me out of there. Before they started pounding on their chests like gorillas, I pushed out my chair and rose. Sorry about this, Max. Another night. Jared shot me a curious glance.
I thought you were going to be difficult.
Let's just go. Max cursed and scowled.
Sam, wait. Will you just...
Jared held onto my lower arms and smiled triumphantly at Max.
Sorry to leave you stranded.
Chapter 11. Sam. The second that queasy feeling in my stomach, courtesy of teleporting, eased, and we arrived at Jared's apartment, I ripped my arms from his grasp. He was already laughing, rather pleased with himself. I wasn't sure what I felt most, annoyed at him for thinking he had the right to interfere with my plans,
or flattered that he was so affected by the idea of me having plans with someone else. It was always nice.